My friends, our scripture lesson this morning is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, and I want to read verses 29 through 34. You can read along with me in your Bible or in the Pew Bible, and it's on page 86 in your Pew Bible. Will you hear these words? The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descends and remain in the one, and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." May God be magnified through the hearing and through the reading of God's word. Called and calling. Called and calling. Will you pray with me? Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. It is rare to approach a sermon without all kinds of feelings and emotions running through your spirit. This week was no exception. As I was thinking about the work and the role of the church in this world that is so filled with uncertainty, tomorrow marks the anniversary for Dr. King. And I can't help but recall how this great churchman, a man who could have had a great career in any field that he would have chosen, even as a pastor, he could have stayed and pastored some of the elite churches in the East. Instead, he would return to the South. In the midst of hatred, bombings, racism, segregation, injustice, Dr. King was still able to say, "I have a dream." Sadly, history does not always record that the church was standing right there beside him. In fact, it was April 12, 1963, that Dr. King was in jail in Birmingham, and the ministers would write to him, calling for him to end the demonstrations. Dr. King wrote back to them words that still have much meaning today. He said, in the struggle for freedom, he had been disappointed because we have not always received the cooperation of the church. Dr. King said, in the struggle, the church had been a taillight rather than a headlight. The church had been so often an echo rather than a voice. All of this brought me to meditate and to struggle with our work here as Burns Church. As a church, you are a gifted, caring, loving, and generous people. And Lou and I and our boys are so grateful to be here with you at this time. But what has come home to me, and I think this is why our planning retreat is so important, I feel that our work and the challenges in front of us will be very different than who we are today. With all of this going on around us, with all of this going on inside of us, the scripture lesson becomes a source of inspiration for us. I see in this story, and in the words of St. John, he was a unique person in that he could have developed his own following. But John never forgot that he was not the Christ, but was the signpost, always pointing the way to Christ. John also knew who Jesus was. It was not just a compliment when John says of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I think what he was capturing in a very real way was an understanding of purpose. For as he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," he begins to realize, what then is my purpose? I think too often we have limited the conversation about calling and purpose to the pastor or a few lay persons within the church. But God has a purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. John the Baptist responded to his calling. And we are challenged then to respond to our calling. How do we know he responded? "Behold, the Lamb of God." In the Jewish faith, the Lamb played a large role in the history of the people. It was the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of the Israelites that told the death angel to pass over as the people were being delivered from Egypt to the promised land. John knew that every morning and every evening a lamb was sacrificed in the temple as a sign of the forgiveness of the people. John knew that Jesus would be the Lamb of God who could deliver the people from their death, and he would pay the ultimate sacrifice so that the people would know they were forgiven of their sin. William Barclay said that in saying Lamb of God, it sums up the love, the sacrifice, the suffering, and the triumph of Christ. John answered the call on his life to be the one who pointed the way to Christ. John was called to baptize with water, but John said Jesus will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John was called to be a witness. He was called to give testimony. John responded to his call. This same kind of call is here for us today. It is a call to be a witness. In preparation for our planning retreat, we have come across a table that lists people within the community, the people who have a religious affiliation. And I am anxious for you to see it, because the percentage of those who are unchurched, the percentage of those who do not have any kind of religious affiliation at all, it is more than three times that of what would be the largest church in our community. Did you hear that? The harvest is plentiful. And so we come then to a discussion of what does it mean to be called to be a witness, called to give testimony, called to go and to be involved with evangelism. Evangelism brings all kinds of meanings to all kinds of people. But I believe it is something that as we capture, we will begin to see evangelism as our personal way of inviting others to come and to know Jesus Christ for themselves. Two stories on evangelism. One day, a lady criticized that great preacher Dwight L. Moody for his methods of evangelism and the way he was trying to win people for Christ. Moody said, "I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. Tell me, how do you do it?" The lady replied, "I don't do it." Moody then replied, "I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it at all." Robert Louis Stevenson was looking out of the dark from his upstairs window, watching a man light the street lamps. Stevenson thought to himself, "I am watching. I am watching. I am watching a man cut holes in the darkness. I am watching a man cut holes in the darkness." There is darkness all around us. There is darkness all around us. It is said that we need to read the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Did you notice, I believe it was on Wednesday evening, just two blocks here from our church, there was a gang conflict and a police officer was run over. Thankfully, he'll be all right. But just two blocks from our church, since I have been here as your pastor, I have known members who have known others who have experienced tragedy, have seen apartments and fires, seen houses burned. I know of our common and shared life together, how we have stood with those in times of sickness and in times of death. And yes, to be perfectly honest, We have had more than our share of struggles in our time together. And it's only been 6 months. Some more difficult days to come. Darkness all around us. But oh, now the challenge to be those who cut holes within the darkness. There is a lot for our church to do. In the spirit of Dr. King, with the witness of John the Baptist, with the presence and power of Jesus Christ in our midst, may we respond to the call. May we respond to the call. Oh, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I'll go with him, all the way. The task is for us to be together. The task is for us to hear the call. The task is for us to be the church. I had to go to Evergreen, Colorado yesterday to see Ryan wrestle. On my way, I saw a sign that said rough road ahead. Not being one comfortable driving in the mountains anyway, I held on even tighter. But you know what I discovered? When I got to the place that was rough, something had happened that it had already been cleared out. Rough road ahead? Not so. God has already gone ahead of us. Now can we go as well? Amen. Amen.